independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We were making fun of Chris Gross, the scouting director for the Astros, when he called Drew Gilbert. So stoked to get you in the org, man. Some people were texting in their dad cool slang, I guess. Hang ten, bro. Let's get it popping. Yeah, all of those I think would classify as Chris Gross calling
Drew Gilbert. Chris Gross, congrats.
That might be my favorite part, even more than the so stoked to get you in the org. Oh, man. Anyways.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and the thing is, it's, you know, again, because Brendan always gives me a hard time because I'm over the top and analyzing announcers and broadcasters and stuff, but like his pauses were in the absolute worst possible.
It was bizarre. Possible.
You're supposed to say the full name. It sounds like he's rattling off four different names.
Yeah, it does. Drew, Gilbert, Chris Gross. Like he was, it was like his top four big board, basically.
How are you? I'm reading from a small prompter.
Oh, man. We're so stoked to get you in the org, man. Anyways, Robert Manfred, commissioner of baseball, he had a moment yesterday during the draft as well. And Brendan thinks I'm the only person that watched this draft yesterday.
I watched it too.
Even though
you.
Blankers did.
Yeah.
But Robert Manfred, I noticed a moment where I thought Robert Manfred was, quite frankly, hammered. I thought he was drunk.
With the 14th pick of the 2022 MLB draft, the New York Mets select Jet Williams, a shortstop from Rockwell Heath High School in Heath, Texas.
It was actually Rockwall, and I don't think you got all of it there. Like, he stumbled on the, like, whoever has the next pick. He said, like, the New York Mets have the next... He said something really weird, but I can't remember what he said now. But he botched like five different things there.
And then walking off the stage, he said, check out the chick of the sombrero. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, it was quite the night. And if anybody has not watched the Major League Baseball draft because you think it's the least watchable event on the sports calendar, you would be incorrect. Real quick on the two players. I've seen quite a bit of Tennessee baseball this year. Drew Gilbert had
That's
quite...
That's the showboat.
He's not only a showboat, but he likes to chirp at umpires a little bit, get kicked out of their super regional game. So I said I had two comps on him. First off, here was his head coach from Tennessee, Tony Vitolo, I think it's pronounced. He was actually on the MLB Network draft coverage of the broadcast. He was their special guest. I was watching ESPN, but I heard this later. Listen to the high praise he gives Drew Gilbert.
No doubt. I didn't get invited to that party, but a great presentation on the podium for a great kid. Obviously a loud personality on the field because he wants to win so much. But I can't describe to people how he changed my life when he got to our program. He does things in the locker room and the dugout that are very tough to describe, especially in a short amount of time. But literally changed the way the program operates, thinks, competes, works. I think he's going to do that at the big league level too.
I mean, that's Dabo Swinney calling Deshaun Watson Michael Jordan. Changed my life, changed the program.
Coach didn't get invited, so he went to a rave instead. I don't know what the hell was going
was
on
the
in the background.
That was live at the draft party.
I mean,
Major League Baseball draft is a great time to be had for all.
You talk about mound visits. Forget that. You got a guy that's going to do it in the clubhouse now. Put a value on that.
He also talked about like his antics and his behavior, because there's some people who are like, I don't like this pick. He's too big of a showboat.
He raised money for charity for his bat flips. That's legitimately. There's T-shirts that they put on that people were tweeting last night. Get them before they're gone, but you can get the last of the bat flip T-shirts.
I do vaguely remember hearing that now as I was watching the coverage. But Tony V also said that a lot of that behavior, the antics, was stuff that he was willing to let him do, and that if a pro coach came in there and was like, "Hey, you got to cut it out," he'd be the first person to do it. So I don't think it's going to be something that is a problem.
Give me your comps.
For Drew Gilbert. So I think very best case scenario for Drew Gilbert. As an offensive player at the bigs, like, this is best case. Like, this is the Major League Baseball draft, not the NFL, not the NBA. Like, there's a really good chance we're never going to hear or see of Drew Gilbert or Jacob Melton again. The success rate, not very high for players who get drafted. I can see Drew Gilbert being an Alex Bregman type of offensive player with a little bit more athleticism. His college numbers at Tennessee are better than Bregman's college numbers at LSU. He hit for more pop at Tennessee than Alex Bregman did at LSU. I'm not saying 40 home runs, second in the American League in voting. I mean like this version of Alex Bregman, where he's going to hit for a pretty good average. He's going to walk a decent amount. He's not going to strike out a ton. He's going to have 20 to 25 home run pop. But he also is going to be a very, like, I don't want to say very good, a good defensive center fielder. I think he's got, that's his best case scenario.
So I look at it, and then even the guys on the draft, because I watched, we're saying that he is the prototypical Astros-type center fielder. I guess that's because he's kind of rocked up because he's got a little pop in his bat to be a center fielder. But, you know, you have to think about this big picture. I think as excited as you can be about the guys that they're bringing into the organization, you know they had to restock their farm system the best they could. And, like, to your point, whether these guys end up ever putting on an Astros uniform on the big league level or they become pieces as part of a trade that allows you to keep this run going with the team that you currently have. Look at Seth Beer. Seth Beer was a guy that, oh, man, well, someday if he plays third, you slide Bregman over, you've got the infield of the future, you got this and that. Guess what? He never put on a jersey for the Astros because he was part of the trade that got you Zach Greinke.
Yep. To me, it's what they do to help you. I mean, a lot of times it's on the field, but also a lot of times it's what you can
the
get
bench
in return.
Said this morning, what was the – what's the he's not with them anymore. The Yankees' longtime left fielder.
Brett Gardner?
Brett Gardner.
I saw that as a comp as well.
Do you? I don't know that I think that you've gotten a good enough first-round pick if it's Brett Gardner.
If you draft a player in the first round that plays in the big leagues, that's a pretty good hit rate.
Okay.
Yeah, so if he's Brett Gardner, I think that's pretty good.
Because the other kid I heard, Benintendi.
You talking about the guy in the second round? The Jacob Melton was the second rounder. He was the Pac-12 player of the year. Offensive numbers really good. He actually, so my comp of him with Astro Ty, he reminds me a lot of Colby Rasmus at the plate. Like, he's this tall, lanky lefty that bats a little weird, that has the capability of playing center field, but probably more of a corner outfielder. I like both of the picks. But I'm also willing to tell you that a Major League Baseball first rounder and second rounder, there's a better than 50-50 chance he never plays in the big leagues.
Because I saw some people questioning why you took two center fielders back
in the day. Oh, you're taking best available in Major League Baseball.
Plus, you can find a different position for him, right?
Yeah, I don't think that Jacob Melton's a center fielder long term. Like, he's capable of doing it, like Kyle Tucker's capable of doing it, but probably not his long term position. He looks more corner outfielder to me. I know he stole some bags. I know he has some pretty good athleticism. I'm not sure he's major league center field quality. But they did say that they're going to try them both out in center field for a while. I like both of the picks, but also think that, you know, it's that both of them contribute in the big league level, and both for the Astros, probably a long shot. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll get to some of the least watchable events on the sports calendar in just a second. But I want to pay off the tease. The Hunter Brown is getting impatient part. Chandler Rome covers the Astros for the Houston Chronicle, as we know. He's been out at L.A. covering the All-Star festivities. Part of the All-Star festivities was what you mentioned earlier, the Futures game, which Hunter Brown and Yiner Diaz were getting booed for their I wouldn't even say, for their affiliation. We'll put it that way, for their affiliation. They're both part of the Astros organization. But Chandler Rome had a quote on Hunter Brown. Even in my exit meetings, they're like, force my hand. I've seen Click say that in the media, and I've kind of come out. Felt like I've done that, and I'm still in AAA. Obviously, yeah, I kind of question, what more do you guys want? What do you think of those comments from AAA starter Hunter Brown?
You know what I'm thinking, Jeremy? I'm thinking that his, what do they call it? His big brother in the minor leagues, when Jake Odorizzi got a couple of rehab starts, was Jake Odorizzi, and taught him how to really send messages through the media and show that you're a team play, you're on the team, but you're not a team player. I don't need to hear all that from Hunter Brown because you haven't been there and done that yet, right?
He got asked, to be fair.
I get it, but at the same time, even if that's how you truly feel, if you've got good people around you, you take the high road. You say, you know what, the good Lord willing, everything's going to work out in the end. Hopefully I can help the team, whether it's a starter or a relief pitcher. But I'm just here to be a positive contributing factor in what the Astros do for the next several years to come and say, there you go. Where's my check? Where's my Coke and a smile? And I'll shut the hell up.
Yeah. So this is why I don't hate what Hunter Brown said. I can get the frustration of somebody being in triple. Like, his dream is to pitch in the big leagues. He is good enough right now to pitch in the big leagues. He's a big league pitcher. Mm-hmm. The Astros have a surplus in the rotation where it makes sense that you're going to keep him out in Sugar Land. I have no problem with James Click keeping him down in Sugar Land right now, because why bring him up? But I also have no problem with Hunter Brown getting impatient and feeling like he's done enough to pitch at the big leagues. We also saw this from Alex Bregman. Let's remember what Alex Bregman, prior to him getting called up, I think that Alex Bregman was going to get called up like a week or two prior to him sounding off, saying how he wanted to come up and that he felt that he was going to get the called up like on a specific series and never did because I think he ran his mouth. I like that fire. Like, I want somebody to want to pitch at the big leagues, play in the big leagues. Felt like you've done enough. Like, I want my moment. I want to pitch for a contender. I want to help a contender down the stretch. I kind of like the attitude. Could have even bit his tongue and held it personally and not said the quotes to Chandler Rome. Yeah, probably. That probably was the way to do it. And he'll probably get taught that as soon as he comes up to the big leagues. And don't think that the Astros didn't see that quote and will probably have a thing or two to say about Hunter Brown. But I do like that competitiveness, and I do like that fire.
And that's fair. But I think that the other thing, the way I would look at this is, too, is the fact that you have to be careful how you handle these situations, because it can alter, like you said, how the team decides to treat you, and it can change. They might have had a set plan that he was going to be called up. He was going to be a part of the final month and a half of the season, and if he pitched well, they were going to find a place for him to be on that playoff roster, which they've done in the past. But if you go in and kind of push back and make a spectacle of the situation, they can also do the opposite and say, okay, tough guy, guess what? You're going to spend the entire playoffs sitting at home instead of being like Jeremy Peña.
Well,
but Jeremy Peña traveled last year.
They're not gonna like keep down one of who they would consider a playoff worthy roster
addition.
Not if
he can help you, but you're right.
Exactly.
But there's ways to like still get the best out of him, but send a message.
Yeah.
Here's where I'll say it's more on the organization too.
Mm-hmm.
You have if you're from an organizational standpoint, you handle this the right way. We have a one-on-one conversation and say, you know as well as I do, we have too many starting pitchers right now. That's not going to factor into you long-term with this franchise, and I want to be honest with you. But if you go to him and say, make me do something that I'm not planning on doing yet, basically, you know, force my hand. Show me why I've got to react to you now.
I think he has.
I think he has too, but I think that's not the right approach from management's perspective to like basically challenge him even further when you feel like anybody watching the game knows he's done enough to prove that he, on most teams, he'd be in the big leagues already. So don't piss him off or run the risk of pissing him off by taking it and tweaking it that way. Just have the one-on-one with him and say, yeah, look, I'm not here to BS you. You know that our starting pitching's been off the chain this year, off the hizzy, if you're talking to my man C.
You sound like the Astros scouting director, Chris Gross.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm talking to my man C about the straight fire that our starting pitchers have been throwing up there all year.
I'm just so stoked to see Hunter Brown in the Astros org.
I mean, we know that we're lit as a starting five, six, seven, and we know that, you know, the drip is unbelievable with the chains and the look and feel and what we do. But it doesn't mean that it's going to preclude you from being a part of this starting rotation starting next, as soon as next year. If you keep it real with him and have a really straight one-on-one with him, I think he'd appreciate that a lot more than trying to say, you know, show me a reason why or force my hand.
We should have a guess the date or a pick the date on when Hunter Brown gets called up for the Houston Astros. It could be a little contest with the listeners. Whoever gets the closest date gets a gift card or something.
Way to get under the skin, by the way, of the arguably one of the most important people at Gal Media.
I know. I saw that. AD, we were talking about what's the least watchable event on the sports calendar, and AD, who is the most valuable player in our conglomerate and is the smartest man inside these offices, said, Jeremy Branham, NASCAR is awesome. Watch what you say, sir, !!
In other words, you get to deal with the broken mic stand and get the blame whether you broke it or not, and you wait fifth or sixth in line before you get anything fixed around here.
Yeah. I love those left turns. Those are outstanding. 713-780-ESPN.
The pit fights,
this chair might need a pit stop by the end
guys
of the show.
Guys punching guys in helmets.
Anyways, you can keep weighing in if you want. What is the least watchable event on the sports calendar? 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line. Also, when we return, do you want the Astros to trade for Juan Soto? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees, now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank. It's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan Riley on the ones and twos.
You know what he tries to do there?
He just tries to
drop my name out of it so you don't hear that.
It's not the worst idea.
See? There you go.
It's not a bad idea. Maybe you should do that more often. It's a good idea. I like that.
I was trying to get this ready.
So stoked.
Yo.
So stoked to get you in the org. Man. Scouting director Chris Gross, don't quit your day job. I kind of like that, though, like that he's nerdy and doesn't sound very cool. Like, I want a nerdy guy that's not very cool running the Astros scouting department, if I'm being completely honest with you. Like, give me that guy doing my taxes and putting my minor league org together, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want somebody hip and cool as my scouting director.
I don't. I think it's just like recruiting and NIL and everything else. I think the kids are going to be drawn to the peeps that they kind of see it the way they see the whole world as it is right now.
Yeah, but you're drafting them and paying money. You're not recruiting them.
I mean, I'm hearing it from my friends in the NBA and everything. Like, this is a new era of NBA player.
Well, for sure.
And, like, you lose, like, guys that have been in organizations for a long period of time are saying, I'm so out of touch with our players for the first time. I have nothing in common with them. I don't, you know, I don't, you look for things that you can strike up conversations with so that whether you're a broadcaster or whatever, that you can build that relationship. And they just, they're not on the same page by a mile.
So stoked for you and to get you in the org.
It's just the drip and the lit, man.
What is the least watchable event on the sports calendar? We'll get to Soto in 5 minutes.
But did you see that, by the way, the interview with the kid you were talking about, Jet, when he said he's an Astros fan? But did you see he's got the gold chain with his number because he believes he's the best number four out there?
Yeah.
And then because of the Astros, he had the black diamond chain
that McCullers wore.
I don't know how much, but just the sound of Black Diamond and the Astros players wearing it, that thing can't be cheap.
Yeah, baseball players
usually...
He hasn't
been drafted yet.
Baseball players usually don't come from poverty.
Okay.
They're usually pretty...
Was mom and dad going, well, because you're not going to go to college, saves us money, and because you're going to get drafted and be a millionaire, saves us money.
Yeah.
We're going to mortgage the house in the short term to get you your Black Diamond drip.
Go watch some select ball. You'll see like 8-year-olds with that.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Like, it's baseball is a rich man's game, if we're being completely honest. 713-780-ESPN, least watchable sports events. 6265 saying WNBA games are unwatchable. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to respond to that because I don't want to get canceled. 1290, anything involving hockey. Don't tell that to Fred Fowler.
Yeah,
I like playoff hockey. I'll watch a playoff hockey match, especially if it's game 7. You give me a nice hockey match on ice, game 7 with the stakes, fighting for Stanley Cup. I'll watch that. Give me some of that.
Okay. Well, you know what? I looked up Black Diamond chains. They're not as overly expensive as I thought they were going to be.
That's usually titled for me, things I'll never look up in my life.
Well, I have to, because the kid was, you know, talking about the fact that McCullers had him. I'm thinking a major league player's chain is probably expensive.
How much?
Yeah, I think people are curious.
Let's do Price is Right game on it. Did you already say the price?
No, I didn't even give you the range.
You made it seem like it was reasonable.
So if you go to David Yurman.
Black Diamond. I have no idea where to even begin. Brendan and I will do this. I'll go first, Brendan. So
Zales or David Yurman.
Who's David Yurman?
He's like a...
Did he get drafted?
He's like a jewelry designer. All right, we're not going to go to some of the...
I hate jewelry. I cannot stand wearing jewelry. The only thing I'll wear is my wedding ring, and I wear it as little as I possibly can. The only time I wear it's out in public. Don't like necklaces, watches, nothing. I don't like jewelry. I hate wearing it. It feels weird to me. That's part of like my OCD, ADD personality.
We will go with the top price, the highest price, which comes from Zales.
$19.99, Bob.
Is that $1,900 or
I'm going
$19.99?
No, of course I'm going just under $2,000. $19.99. $1,999, Bob.
Brendan?
He said not that bad.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe you should go $1. I should tell you how to play your game. My bad.
I was going to go, man, I'm going to go like $500.
You should have went $1.
No.
Terrible.
No, you shouldn't.
Right.
You should have gone $1 over what
you
did.
Yeah.
You guys are too competitive with this stuff. You got to try and be right. Don't do this $1
stuff. I was right.
We're competitive and try to be right. So how much are the black diamonds?
So how much are they?
The highest price from Zales on a black diamond chain, $3,999.
Not bad.
Why did you act like it was reasonable?
I mean, because the other end of the equation is the Ross Simons 25-carat version is $836.50.
What a bargain. What can you get it at Sam's or Costco? Can you get that stuff there?
Let me see if I can just enter.
Because they have a jewelry section when you walk into the Sam's or Costco. Have y'all noticed that? Like, there's like a little, like, you can buy watches there. That's where I got my wife's engagement ring. Like, you can do all of that stuff at Costco and Sam's.
Does not, diamond necklaces, but not black diamond necklaces at Costco. Sorry. They do not have black diamond necklaces at Costco.
That's why I don't shop there. That's why I shop at Sam's. Because of the black
Sam's
diamond necklaces.
Either. Hate to break it to you.
All right, 713-780, the least watchable sports events. Hockey's fine
by
Neiman
Marcus, $525. There's your low price.
Neiman Marcus
is
the bargain
there?
Yep. That doesn't make any sense. Dr. Dre saying tennis or golf. Like, I love golf. I'll build my days around golf majors. And tennis majors.
I'll watch
tennis. I won't build my day around tennis majors, but I'll watch it. Like, give me a Wimbledon final.
Kyrgios, because he's the show within the show,
too. Give me Nadal on the clay.
Yeah, that guy, too.
Yeah. There was a
That guy, too.
The first 199 laps of the Daytona 500. AD has I'm never bashing NASCAR again because of
Tour
AD.
Tour de France.
So.
Tour de France is tough to watch.
When Lance Armstrong was doing his thing.
Okay, I was going to say, I'll give you that Greg LeMond and Lance Armstrong.
And he was doing it half than most for a little while. But
when we were
also
talking about rules that need to be changed,
yeah,
you should penalize the hell out of the one biker that drives drunk and takes out 36 to 45 bikers.
I thought you were going to say the one guy who has one testicle.
But the fact that they're all knocked out too and there's no way to get back in the competition and to have a chance to win it, that sucks.
You're not. What is the old saying in NASCAR? If you're not bumping, you're not racing.
I want to restart.
Same thing with the Tour de France. You're not bumping, you're not racing.
I want to restart.
You want to restart
from the point
the Tour
in which all 46 bikers broke their kneecaps because of the drunk biker
bull riding competition. If I go to the Houston Livestock and Show and Rodeo, I want to see some bull riding competition. I'm not watching it on TV.
The chance to see remote secondary violence when the bull gets back at the rider and stuff like that. Yeah, that's worth it.
0170. You're gonna love this one. Basketball is completely unwatchable.
Oh, boy. Okay. You're going to love it, too, since you kind of have quite an aficionado. You're a basketball aficionado.
I love the college game. The NBA game I don't like as much, but I do. It picks up during the postseason.
I'll say this year it didn't.
Juan Soto.
Yep.
Do you want the Astros to trade for Juan Soto? 713-780 ESPN.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, look, as much as you could build your foundation for years to come around a young player like Juan Soto, with the prices that we're talking about and the fact that you already have a core both from a hitting and lineup perspective and a pitching perspective, I just feel like the price is probably far too high and you'd have to give up far too much to be able to get a Juan Soto, especially because I think that would thwart your ability to be competitive for a World Series this season. If it did, then it's not worth it to me.
You think it would hinder your chances of winning a World Series?
If you got to give up some of your current young starting pitchers, and you got to also give up Hunter Brown, and you got to give up multiple picks, you know, I don't mind the picks and whatever the players that aren't currently in the major leagues, but I think that where any team will, especially a Nats team trying to rebuild, will find value that you're not willing to part with this season, it would be in your young starters in the rotation.
I don't believe the Astros have enough.
They don't.
To be in the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
I agree.
Like, everything that I've read, like what the Astros would have to give up to get Juan Soto, I think you're probably talking, like, just to be in the conversation, and I don't even think the Nationals will want this. You're looking at probably Kyle Tucker. You're looking at probably two of Christian Javier and Luis Garcia, Hunter Brown, and then probably like a Corey Lee and a Pedro Leon thrown into that conversation as well. I don't think the Nationals would say yes to that trade. The Nationals aren't going to be a winning team, so why are you trading for a Kyle Tucker, a Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, who have, like, you know, still some years of club control, but not the length of years of club control where they're going to be a contender again? I believe that the Nationals, if they're trading for Juan Soto, they're looking down the barrel at 110 lost seasons for, like, the next 3 years because they're currently really bad with Juan Soto. So, like, what are you adding to your team where now you're a playoff contender? So if you're trading Juan Soto, you're trying to replenish the lower levels of your farm. You're looking at, like, trying to get four top 100 prospects that are, like, double A and lower. You're not looking to get a Kyle Tucker or a Luis Garcia or a Hunter Brown or a Christian Javier.
Since they won the World Series.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Texans with Deshaun Watson. That's their last asset that carries a ton of value.
Mm-hmm.
And if they made an offer of $450 million or whatever it was, no matter how it was loaded and however it was structured.
That's kind of low AAV, by the way.
But they took their one swing, and if they're not going to come back and negotiate, they're not willing to negotiate, and they realize that's not something they signed up for, is to give one player that much money, then your best chance is to send him away and get five or six top prospects and a young player or two and try and replenish your entire farm system and your team all in one fall swoop.
I just don't think you do it at the big league level. I think all of that double A and lower. I don't even know about that. What's the point? Like, unless you're flipping them the next year.
If you get some guy that's been brought up already that's actually performing in like 2021, 22.
Let's assume it's Tucker. But, like, what are you going to do with Tucker? You're just going to trade him next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're willing to commit to him because Tucker, you don't think, is going to command the kind of money that Soto's going to command.
No, he wouldn't.
So maybe you get the lesser of the two. Maybe you take a little step back in terms of production, but you get a guy that is going to sign on the dotted line and commit to whatever you do as an organization.
713-780-ESPN. Do you want the Astros to trade for Juan Soto? What prospects players would you be willing to give up in a trade for said Juan Soto? 713-780-3776. He's still very young, still 19 years old. It's Astro Killer Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about them for years now, and it's because I believe in them, because Apollo Men's Health basically helped me when I was looking for any kind of help I could get to kind of get that kind of energy back in my life, to get on a workout program, to be able to monitor it so I know I was making progress to recover and do all those things. They gave me that and so much more because their people know what they're doing. They're experts in their field, and they can put you on a program that works. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you're having problems, they can get you back to feeling and performing like you used to, if you know what I mean. Check them out today, apollomh.com. They can tell you all the variety of services they offer and all the ways they can help. They have two locations near downtown Houston to better serve you. The best thing you can do is set up your first appointment right there online. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or a free body comp analysis on your first visit. But check them out. Be honest. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to get you on your goals, and they're going to get your results. Excuse me. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking. Unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you want the Astros to trade for Juan Soto? We have a graphic on Twitter asking the masses on Twitter what they think. I'm surprised, based on that, based on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, based on our text line, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, I'm surprised how many people are saying no.
Well, you know what? I think that the other thing that you can say a lot of things about Astros fans, but there's also that loyalty factor of, like, all the different antics and things that they had to endure with that World Series, from Joe Buck's overindulgence of how old he was, to his ability to get away with essentially crap talking and showing up pitchers by doing his little in the batter's box dances and antics and things like that.
Soto
shuffle. And then the fact that they beat the Astros in the World Series, I think that's why you're getting a lot of loyal Astros fans that are going, screw that guy. I'd rather build with our own team and keep doing what we got, doing with the nucleus we got, as opposed to blowing some of it up to get a guy that you hope is going to, you know, would turn out the same way.
I'm more on the don't trade for Soto train, but what they did in the World Series in 19 and his Soto shuffle has zero influence in that decision.
I get that, but I'm just telling you, you asked the question. I'm telling you why I think a lot of Astros fans have an issue with it.
713-780-ESPN. I don't think a trade for Soto is the click crane way, but I'd strongly consider that.
I think that's true.
I think that's true as well.
They don't want to go long-term at big dollars. Yeah. They showed that with Correa.
Click has not shown us that he's willing to make the splash that Jeff Luhnow showed us with Gerrit Cole, Zach Greinke, and was on the cusp of doing with Bryce Harper. And I'm not going to totally say that that's a bad thing, but maybe he surprises us. Maybe he would do that. The second part of the but the contract is also something that's significant. Like, he turned down $450 for 15 years. He's probably going to want $500 million for 15 seasons, and he probably is going to get $500 million for 15 seasons whenever you look at, like, the Tatis contract, the Bryce Harper contract. And $500 for 15 is actually lower than what Carlos Correa got average annual value. It's $33 million.
Juan Soto becomes a Red Sox, I think, or a Cub.
My prediction is that he ends up a Padre. I think he's going to be
a
Padre.
How do they afford that with Machado and with Tatis Jr.?
You just have to pay the luxury tax. But also,
I don't think they go that far.
$33 million per year is less than Correa. Like, if you sign him for the big long-term deal, the average annual is not
Cubs are desperate for a new centerpiece to build around. And I think if the Yankees re-sign Aaron Judge, yeah. it's the Red Sox answer.
I don't, but the Red Sox are run by, like, somebody who came from the Rays. So, like, they've traded away Mookie Betts. So, like, they haven't been making those types of moves, like, where the Yankees have, the Angels have, the Padres have. They've been a lot more frugal. The Cubs, to me, are still sellers. Like, they're talking about trading Ian Happ and a couple of the pieces that they have, too.
So, here's the delicate balance, Jeremy, because I hear what you're saying. And look, the Astros are a product of a guy that's coming from the Rays that are analytically driven, that, you know, going to over the top you and milk you to death with numbers to where they were going to say, you know, that's not our way of doing business. But then you have to factor in the reality of the team that you're going to from the team you came from. In Tampa, it didn't make sense. But in Houston or in Boston, and especially in Boston, when you're consistently known as one of the top, if not with the Yankees and the Dodgers, the top three payrolls in baseball, and your fan base and everybody else knows that and expects you to continue to live up to that, and basically to this point you haven't had to,
right?
And also the results show that you haven't had to, I think that's the kind of guy that makes sense. And from the Cubs' perspective too, you took all this great talent that won you a World Series and one by one you just basically said, thanks for everything, see you later. To come back to where they need to be from their fan base perspective and because of the revenues they have and the money that they have to use and spend, I think he's a guy at his age that becomes the centerpiece of whatever the Cubs could start to rebuild and be.
Yeah, I just don't feel like they're a Soto away from winning. And then,
oh, no. I'm not saying they are. The Red Sox could be.
The Red Sox, yeah, they could be. I just don't – it didn't strike me as the Red Sox being a team that wants to pay $500 million to one singular player for 15 years. And just because you have the money doesn't mean that you think it's smart money. Like, you still might spend up to the $300 million, even if it doesn't mean
sure.
investing that in one single player. 0830 keeps Soto and his stupid shuffle away from Houston.
See?
Plus, I don't think the Astros can afford Soto. I agree with that. 1884 wouldn't trade anyone. Too much money. Would rather have Tucker than Soto anyways. Soto's a better player than Kyle Tucker. I like Kyle Tucker a lot, probably more than most. He's not as good as
I've always been a massive fan of Kyle Tucker, but look, I hear what you're saying.
The money is significant. 0441, I don't think a trade for Soto, but there was the second part I wanted to read here. Give them Chaz Myers or Siri in 1-2 prospects.
Oh, it's a done deal. It happened yesterday.
Chaz Myers and Siri in 1-2 prospects.
That
you
might
get
you a bowl of soup.
Room.
Yeah.
It doesn't even get you Josh Bell.
No, you get you a bowl of soup.
Yeah. 2336, do Pedro Leon and or Hunter Brown have to be in the deal? Yeah.
Yeah, amongst others.
Yeah. Well, Jordan says, I disagree. I think you do go with multiple guys that have proven they are in the player or have been players in the league with a minimum of 3 years of team control. The Astros have an abundance of those guys. Leon, Javier, Fromber, Garcia, Myers, McCormick, Brown all check that box, though I wouldn't trade all of them for Soto. I don't think the Nationals care about their big league team.
They don't.
I think they're going to want the
rebuild
young
right now where they're at. You're absolutely right. They don't. They're not worried about winning right now. So they're not worried about major league players right now. They're worried about, kind of like the young Rockets in the analogy that makes sense to the local people, they're looking for guys that are going to all flourish and develop at the same time so that they can take you to the next level and become a winning team on a consistent basis when they're all ready to play on the major league level.
713-780-ESPN.
Or
let's go
just
out.
Reach us at HomeDepot.com, where Jeremy sounds like he's trying to build some kind of a wood plank flooring.
That was AD because I was bashing NASCAR again. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Steven, you're in the high with the Killer Bees.
Steven, Hello? Go ahead. Yep, you're on. Go, buddy.
Hey, guy. I don't want Juan Soto. If anything, I'd rather cement the rivalry with us and the Yankees and go after Judge during the offseason. He don't want to sign the long term with the Yankees. He's looking to see what they're going to do this playoff season. If they don't win at all, he could be out. Go after him, cement the legacy. Tucker in the center field, keep your prospects. You got some money to spend. Why not do that?
Can I ask a better question? Thanks for the call, Steven.
Where's the curb music when you need it?
Yeah. Can I ask you a better question? Who says no first, Judge or the Astros? Because I don't think the Astros want Judge, and I don't think Judge wants the Astros.
If the Astros are the highest bidder on Judge, Judge says, where do I put on the blue and the orange? And then I'm so stoked to be in the org.
Well, see, the thing to me becomes you don't want to also become the Yankees because you've tried hard to not be them and say, if we can't beat them, join them, Garrett Cole and and, you know, trying to look to add, the, you know, players and otherwise to their franchise after they can't beat your franchise. You don't want to be that if you're the Astros. You've proven you're your own great organization full of talented players that doesn't need to take on Yankees to get better.
I think we can all come to, like, an agreement that the Astros aren't going to be the organization that pays huge contracts to players into their 30s. Even pre-Click, mm-hmm. Luno didn't pay Springer, didn't play Cole. Also,
you wanted to pay Cole.
I don't know of how serious they were in that negotiation.
They knew from the get-go, though, that Cole was only interested in one spot.
I don't think the Astros would have paid Garrett Cole that money. They would not have paid him the contract.
I think even if they did, they knew that they weren't. He wasn't coming here. He wasn't coming back here. He made that relevant, basically known from the time he put the Boris hat on after the game.
I mean, he didn't put on a Yankee hat. He said, pay me the most money you can.
Essentially,
and the
almost
Yankees paid him the most money. 8693, if Click traded Tucker and then some for Juan Soto, I would drive to the juice box and punch him myself. They don't give out huge contracts, so Soto not staying long-term, and the gap between Tucker and Soto isn't that big. I think the gaps between top-tier MLB players in general isn't as big as people think, which is why I was okay with Correa walking. If Soto gets a say in trade, he's going to the Yankees or Dodgers because he knows payday will come with those franchises. Payday's coming, period.
I said Yankee. I mean, you can say that, but I say Red Sox and Cubs are in that same talk.
Yeah. See, the thing with Tucker and Soto, though, like, and again, I don't think that the Nats would be interested in Tucker because I think they're going to want lower-level prospects because they're not going to be interested about winning at their big league team. Tucker only has one more year of club control than Soto does. Soto has 2 years after this one. Tucker has 3 years after this one. So it's not like there's this huge delta between how quickly Soto would leave and how quickly Tucker would leave. Now, the money could be a factor, but look, Kyle Tucker also did not sign with your team. There were reports, yep, and I trust these reports because who was reporting on them, that the Astros were engaged in contract negotiations with Kyle Tucker. Has Kyle Tucker signed a contract extension with the Astros? He's not.
No.
So he might be just as difficult to lock up as Soto. I'm not saying he's going to make as much money, but he's probably going to want long-term money into his 30s as well, and he only has an extra year of club control.
And we also said, look, they're not in a hurry yet. They know that they've got time on both sides, and from Kyle Tucker's perspective, he's going to bring up the bargaining chip. If you gave Yordan what you gave Yordan, you need to give me more because I play defense every single day at a very high level in right field.
A lot of folks, too, like when you're talking about what you're giving, it matters. Like Bregman or McCullers for Soto, that ain't getting it done. Like,
I just think it's amusing to me how naive fan bases can be about the fact that, hey, we can pull the wool over their eyes. We can give them so-and-so and so-and-so and some fries and a shake, and we're going to get him. Yeah.
And then you have to pay the $500 for 15.
713- Who cares?
780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Should we be worried about the Mariners, and what are the least watchable events on the sports calendar? We'll ask the Wheelhouseman when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes. Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jake Asman hanging out with us.
Hello.
You can listen to him each and every weekday, 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Did you have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend.
Looks like you did.
How do you say that?
I don't know. I just start saying that to everybody to see their reaction. It's been a lot of fun.
No, I did. It was a solid weekend.
See?
Hung out. Was by a pool. What more do you need?
Watching the Open?
Honestly, I really didn't watch much of it. I had it on as background noise. I'm not the biggest golf person in the world.
Golf. He's not a big golfer, Jeremy.
Where does it rank amongst the least watchable events on the sports calendar?
I mean, it's more watchable than some other random things you usually get in the month of July. It was at least close.
Is it more watchable than the Major League Baseball draft?
Yes.
The draft. What about the Tour de France?
Yes. I would rather watch the Open than the Tour de France.
What about the ESPYs?
I mean, the ESPYs used to be really fun. I enjoyed it back in the day. I don't know
what changed?
I feel like the jokes haven't been as funny in recent years. Like when Justin Timberlake hosted it and he roasted Eli Manning the year after the Giants won the Super Bowl, I just remember that monologue being absolutely hysterical.
There were some uncomfortable moments in some of the ESPYs when you had, like, it was one thing to have a comedian do it, but when you had people that were peers doing it, it got a little dicey.
You know what I do once a year? Every time the ESPYs are about to
shower.
Come on? No, I do that once a day, sometimes more.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
You watch the Jimmy Valvano speech.
No, actually. But I do that as well, now that I think about that. But it's something else I do in relation to the ESPYs. I watch the Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yes.
Once a year, because it is so good. You have King Griffey Jr. like opening his eyes, and like I think it was Griffey that he offended, maybe. I can't remember exactly who.
Yeah, when the feathers were ruffled at the ESPYs before Will Smith did what he did, the chances always felt like they were – it was slim, but there was a chance that someone who took it personal was going to take it out on whoever delivered the punchline.
Peyton Manning had a good monologue a couple of years ago, too.
Manning's low-key funny.
He really is.
Him on SNL was really good.
Oh, fantastic.
Where he was like throwing the footballs to the Make-A-Wish
kid. Back of their heads and just cussing them out in the huddle.
Yeah. Yeah, Peyton Manning's pretty funny. It's why he does a really good job on the Manning cast.
And
he,
Eli's
take
not.
Or, take or leave Eli.
Yeah, Eli's
how do you feel
not.
About Eli as a New York guy?
Huge Eli fan.
Really?
Yeah, how do you not respect a guy that handled himself the way he did, never involved in a scandal in 20 years in New York, won 2 championships? Love Eli.
You were bragging about Mark Sanchez's list the other day. Like, which
he's not on your
it?
Squad. He's on the Giants, not the Jets.
Yeah, but you got to understand something. The Jets and Giants aren't really rivals. They play once every 4 years. And Eli Manning beat the Patriots twice, the team I despise more than any team on the planet. So I'm always appreciative to that.
Okay. How about the Mets Yankees? Can you appreciate both?
I mean, they do play every year. It's not. I mean, that's more of a rivalry because of the fact they play every year, and it's every day, and they kind of share the same storylines in the city. But it's Jets Giants. I guess the fans might consider it a rivalry. I don't really look at it like that because they play once every 4 years.
What about Nets Knicks?
That is a rivalry, but there's 99% Knicks fans that dominate the fan. The Nets don't have a large fan base.
Somebody taught me once that it's like, if you're a fan, it's like Jets, Mets, Nets. Like, that's your allegiance. Like, if you like one of those, you like all of those. Is that accurate?
So not him.
It'd be called a gym, Jets, Islander, Mets. Usually, typically, if you're from Long Island, because the Jets and Mets used to share a stadium together. The Islanders are a Long Island team. It's a lot different nowadays, though, because the Jets have been off Long Island now for close to 30-something years.
Creighton's Mets. What's his football team? Giants?
He's a Giant fan.
Okay.
So I guess that doesn't come into play at all. Somebody who ever taught me that had no idea what they were talking about.
It could. I'd say that's more of a common thing than not, but it's not the end-all be-all.
Brendan, you've heard of this too?
Yeah, no,
so this
isn't
something
I'm
just pulling out of left field? Okay.
For instance, my stepdad is a huge Giants fan and a Mets fan, so it's the total opposite. So it just really depends on where you're from.
And then Islanders-Rangers, too, I guess. They're two NHL teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Rangers are the more popular team because they have the city, but the Islanders are Long Island's only team. So the Islanders are immensely popular on Long Island.
Okay.
I assume Creighton's a Knicks guy because the Nets weren't relevant.
Yeah, he's a Knicks fan.
Are you calling him a T-shirt fan? Are you calling him a front runner? A Fairweather fan?
No, they just weren't anywhere near good for when he was growing up, when I think you kind of forged those long-term loyalty.
Should we be worried about the Mariners, Jake?
I don't think you should be worried about them winning the division. I think what they could now pose is maybe a threat to stop you from potentially getting the best record in the AL. I just thought the Astros were going to get it the whole time because the Yankees got to play every team in the AL East a bunch, and all those teams are above 500. And the Astros were in a terrible division. The division is still really bad, but Seattle's good. I don't know how good they are, if this is sustainable. They're not going to win 20-something games in a row. But, they do have a lot of games left with Seattle. So if all of a sudden those games are more difficult, it might make it harder to get the best overall record.
I think they've caught my attention. I think they've caught the attention of the city. I think they've caught the attention of baseball. Like, they've won 14 in a row. They have a young superstar in Julio Rodriguez who's going to be on display tonight in the home run derby that looks like he's going to be one of the game's next great
superstars.
He's going
to win rookie of the year. As much as the Peña fans wanted and were hoping for this clean sweep, with the amount of games that Peña missed and with how he picked it up, he's going to be rookie of the year.
I think he's like Acuña good. Like, I think
he could be.
Like, not quite to that level, not quite Mike Trout, but I think he's going to be a superstar.
He's really
I think
good he's defensively. Be one of he made another great defensive play the other day.
Yeah, he's really good. And he hits for power. He hits for average. I mean, your prototypical five-tool player. What would worry me, though, about the Mariners would be if they swept this series coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If we're doing this show a week from now, next Monday, and the Mariners have swept the Astros out of Seattle, they've closed the gap to within six games. They've now won 17 in a row. They've won 14. They sweep the series. They've won 17 straight. I'll be singing a different tune next Monday if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, you know, in any situation where if someone's following you and you didn't realize they were following you, and suddenly you look in your rear view and you see a team, you know, dramatically changing lanes and sneaking up on you, you pay attention. If they get up on your bumper and they get close within, I'd say, a handful of games, that's when you got to make them a legit problem that you have to deal with. Until you get to that point, you just handle your business. But I think the other thing, while they're not playing, if you lose both those games at the doubleheader against the Yankees, now it could be less than six by the time you get out of the weekend if they sweep you. That's a problem.
Yeah, you have to throw that into the equation, too. It's why you would like at least a split against the Yankees before that Mariner series starts. 7095 says the Open or the WNBA championship?
The Open, easy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I'd probably go the Open as well.
You're not a Liberty fan?
Is that the WNBA?
Yes. I guess. New York Liberty, right?
Yeah, it's the triple-double machine, Sophia Ionescu, Kobe's girl.
No, Sabrina, I believe it's
Sabrina.
Sabrina Ionescu? Am I saying that right?
I'm not going to you for any pronunciation. Either one of you guys.
Well, that's why I asked him. I have no idea.
You give me an hour to get to study pronunciations. I won't miss a beat.
Yes, the Connecticut Sun, the New York Liberty. So my only following of the – I'm a Seattle
– Storm.
Seattle Storm.
You're
fan.
Welcome. Yeah, Sue you're Bird. A big fan.
A huge fan. Yeah. Sue Bird went to my high school. Her mom was my nurse, so I only follow Seattle.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
Huh.
How about that for a random fact?
Yeah, very random.
That's fascinating. Did you see Cam? Speaking of the Open, by the way, there's some rumors that Cam Smith might be going to the LIV Tour.
Really?
David Faraday's going. He's going to broadcast.
I heard that.
No, really?
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah. I know. David Faraday.
Faraday's so good.
He's great. I love his show on Golf Channel.
Yep.
LIV's going to get a TV deal, and they're going to take off soon. Like, there's too many big names. Charles Barkley's meeting with LIV.
Is he really?
So he talked about it
after
on a podcast
he crapped all
last
over
week.
Him.
He talked about it on a podcast last week. They said there's rumors out that you're going to speak to LIV for whatever role. We don't know what role you're going to use. Are they going to use you for? Is that true? And he said, yeah, I have a meeting scheduled with the folks at LIV. So I don't know.
Wow.
I'm sure it'd be commentating. I'm sure he's
absolutely.
Not going to golf.
Absolutely. It's like they did on the TNT coverage of the match.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to take off here.
How much money
soon.
Do they need to pay Barkley for him to entertain the idea of doing
that? Not as much as you think. He loves golf that much.
Especially, like, he's not going to, like, TNT.
It's his offseason.
And TNT's not going to say, you know, well, I just had an epiphany. But TNT's not going to say, you know what? You can't work for us anymore. Like, he would do both.
Right.
He double dip. Maybe
that's
makes
right.
a couple million dollars. Which leads me to my next point. The epiphany I just had. TNT. Broadcast home for the LIV Tour in the United States.
Makes too much sense, right? They've gotten their feet wet doing golf. They've done the match. They've dabbled in the past of trying to take on a major as one of the secondary channels. They could do it.
They need a TV deal. First one that buys
Ernie Johnson live in the studio.
It's better than Buck. Buck
anything.
Golf was brutal.
Well, don't get me started.
Was he bad?
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Really?
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Fox coverage of the U.S. Open when they had it.
Oh, and they had Holly Buck. Saunders, who did not have any clue, question to ask.
It low-key ruined her career.
She ruined her career.
That's part of the reason, though, right? Because, like, she was actually a commodity and a name before that.
From the Golf Channel, yeah. But she realized she could make more money on Friends Only and Internet.
I don't think that's what it's called.
OnlyFans?
OnlyFans and
how
whatever
do you know
the
what
hell.
It's called?
Yeah, whatever the hell she does to show herself in lingerie and swimsuits.
Friends Only.
Yeah. Close enough.
That's you should get the browser for that. You should get the name.
I'm going to call Astros Draft Picks and see if they got a Friends Only account for your GM Chris.
Yeah, that's not a bad
or your
idea.
Player guide, Chris.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today for Take Jake?
What a show. BK is here, Andrew is here. It's like the first time since like the Clinton administration the Wheelhouse is like every person on the show all together at once. So we're going to talk sports. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. It's going to be emotional, and I can't wait.
Yeah, that sounds good. You have AC back, which is great to see.
Look at him wearing a mask.
Look at him masked up.
He's like, I'm COVID-free, but I'm
he's
still going to wear a mask.
He's a walking Petri dish still, but he's still here trying to be the ultimate warrior.
He's like, if I don't show up to work today, I'm going to have no vacation days left, so I need to be here.
Plus, you crapped on him enough to start a manure factory when he was gone, telling him he was going to be replaced by this person and didn't live up to that. You were killing him.
Well, I mean, he almost got Wally pipped. You got to call for what it is.
Who almost Wally pipped him?
We had a couple guys that really stepped in, did a nice job.
Well, if there's two, there's not one.
Well,
Noah went to the LIV Tour.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. Noah was in the running, and then he took the blood.
The arc sailed, and it went to the LIV Tour.
I gave AC, when I saw him, a symbolic dab.
You didn't want to touch him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's part of that. I'm not sure. All right, sounds very good. We'll be listening. Fair take, Jake. Thanks for coming on. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.